Hello and welcome to the NITV News Podcast. Yesterday was the fourth and final day of the Garma Festival in remote northeast Arnhem Land of the Northern Territory. Our NT correspondent Emma Kellaway was there on the ground in Gookla.
The atmosphere around the grounds has certainly turned away from some of those more serious discussions around Indigenous affairs. While most of the political players have left, a string of cultural activities around the grounds are in full swing. Today is Community Day here at Garma. It's a public holiday in the Northern Territory and the gates have opened for free to locals from across Arnhem Land, many taking the opportunity to join in on festivities and connect.
Sharing our culture to the other people here, to Balanda and Ilungu. We're sharing our culture, taking into Garma and our music.
And it's music, songs, all different players, and also the dancing probably.
We're looking forward to see the bongol too.
Minmak. I like it. You know.
Community Day is one of my favourite days because it opens up, everyone comes in. We're seeing, you know, influx of kids coming in and, you know, just seeing them out kicking the ball, getting involved in things. It's a really good vibe.
From modern musical performances to the traditional craft of weaving, guests here are eager to make the most of Garma's final moments.
Really reflecting back on the last few days and kind of ordering that in your mind and then, yeah, just taking what you can in sort of on the last day.
The culture's very nice. We're enjoying it. Yeah, we love the people.
So the vibe out here is good, and I guess people connecting with each other and sharing stories.
It's nice just to wander around at your own pace and sort of take it all in as well.
Speaking with people here, you can really feel the sense of relaxation that comes with connecting over campfires and conversation over the last 4 days, a feeling many will take home as Garma closes.
Yesterday was Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children's Day, and the federal government has announced that it's appointed adjunct professor Sue Ann Hunter as the new National Commissioner for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People. The Wurundjeri Ngarrai Ulam Warang woman has more than 20 years' experience working in child and family services, including SNAKE, and she will start her role later this year. And while at Garma, she sat down with NITV for an exclusive interview.
What will be one of your first priorities in this role?
One of my first priorities is really to speak to community orgs, to the commissioners, to the advocates, to the guardians already in these positions around their states and territories in their jurisdictions. What are they doing? What are their priorities? And then work with them on what we can possibly do. Also looking at what are the levers in Commonwealth that we can lever off to move forward the plight of our kids.
And this weekend we've seen a lot of discussions around youth incarceration in the Northern Territory, but more broadly as well. Are you concerned about some of the statistics we're seeing on that front?
I think from what I've seen, yes, it is alarming, those statistics. I don't think I know enough to sort of get into the nuts and bolts of it.
How important do you see this role as being to hold federal, state and territory governments to account on some of these issues that are really pressing?
Oh, look, it's a very big role. I don't underestimate the breadth and length that I've got and what is to be done. I was talking earlier and I was saying I can't do this alone as a commissioner. This is a commission of people, but it's also those already doing the work. It's a lot of responsibility and I don't take it lightly. And coming off the back of another commission, really understanding the inquiries and those recommendations, but not reinventing the wheel. What's already being done? What's already happening? What are people already advocating for? Most of this work isn't new. It's not new, it just hasn't progressed. So how do we actually do and progress, reduce the rate of children in care, reduce our children in youth detention, how do we get better health outcomes, better education outcomes, and how do we bring families together and keep kids, because the protective factor is culture. And so how do we keep kids connected to their country, their family, their culture?
The Yuruk Justice Commission found that former child removal policies were a genocide, or it's what they called it. Do you think that
that type of truth-telling is needed at a national level for us to really reconcile with the past and create a better future for the generations to come.
I think it needs to be done in every jurisdiction because we've all been colonised differently. So I think each state territory really needs to have that. And then if we look at a federal level, there's other things at a federal level like the laws and what happened in that. So, yeah, I believe right across. We need to understand the past to build a better future. If we can't build a better future for our children, there's really no hope.
Australia's digital safety regulator has launched two new culturally tailored guides aimed at keeping First Nations kids safe online. Co-designed with MOB around the country, Safer Together and Leaving Deadly Digital Footprints are the two guides launched by the eSafety Commissioner. They use storytelling, case studies and interactive activities to help kids learn safe online behaviours. The resources aim to tackle racism, bullying and online exclusion while celebrating the creativity and strength of First Nations kids.
Importantly, both these guides have been designed with a really community approach, so they support parents, elders and the whole of community in having those meaningful conversations with young people to help keep them safe.
Indigenous rugby league legend Sam Bacco is being remembered as a family man and strong advocate for his people. Bacco died in hospital after a three-month battle with the tropical soil disease melioidosis and complications related to a heart condition. The 64-year-old played 116 matches for the Canberra Raiders and 20 games for the Brisbane Broncos between 1983 and 1990. Bacco also played 7 State of Origin matches for Queensland and 6 Test matches for Australia. In a statement, Bacco's family said he loved his people and his culture and took his cultural obligations very seriously. He was a man with a huge generosity of spirit and was always thinking of others. And that's all for now. I'm Luana Grant. For more Indigenous news, tune in to NITV News Weeknights. And stay tuned right here on NITV Radio for all the latest news updates.